inspired writers to write songs to your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
That we can worship you in spirit and truth. You have inspired writers to pen words and put music to them so that we could lift up our voices to you. You are the only worthy one. You're Almighty God. And we lift up our voices to our Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We lift up our voices to our Savior. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding us and giving us the energy and giving us the strength and teaching us everything you've seen and heard in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher. In these troubled times, we need your guidance more than ever. In these difficult circumstances, we need answers. We don't need any more questions. We need answers, and coming directly from the throne of grace, from the throne room, we come boldly before your throne of grace in our time of need. And as we now look to your word of God, to the word of God, to your word, O God Almighty, it is bread, it is life to us. It's everything we need to know about life and godliness. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for reaching in and filling us full of your anointing and your power, your glory. And just thank you for the love that you pour out on us. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, I want to share today a few passages of Scripture. I have a theme on my heart, which I believe is very contemporary in the sense that it's very timely. Of course, many times people think that the Bible is something that's old-fashioned or that it only covers a certain time period and it's not something we can apply today to our lives. This is absolutely false. The Word of God is as fresh and new today as it ever has been, and the need for God's Word in our lives is every bit as necessary as it's ever been. The first passage of Scripture that I want to look at is in the 46th chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalm 46 at verse 10. And I'm reading from the Geneva Bible, 1599, that Bible that came over with the Pilgrims on the Mayflower. Psalm 46 at verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. And of course, when you read a verse like that, it certainly begs the question, well, Lord, how will you be exalted among the nations or among the heathen? And how will you be exalted in the earth? And I surely think there are many answers to that question. But the first thing that occurs to me when I read a verse like that is, Lord, you will be exalted among the heathen through my praise, through my testimony. I mean, I'll take personal responsibility for that. Many people believe that they should get up and give their testimony in church. But giving your testimony in church is exalting the Lord among the brethren. Giving your testimony in church is exalting the Lord in church. But the Lord says here, he will be exalted among the heathen. And I believe that that happens as we are willing, out of love and out of desire, to obey the Lord and being his witnesses in all ways and all places. And when he says, I will be exalted in the earth, well, Lord, I will exalt you wherever that I am. No matter who I'm in amongst, the word is still the same. And of course, when we read that first part, be still and know that I am God, just reading it and letting the Holy Spirit bring the truth of that to our spirit, is so encouraging. Just reading it brings peace to me. Be still and know that I am God. Mm. I want to read another passage from the Old Testament, Isaiah 26, verse 8. Isaiah 26, verse 8. Isaiah 26, verse 8 says, "Also we, O Lord, have waited for thee in the way of thy judgments. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." Too often it seems that Christians expect somebody else to do these things and not themselves. I take the responsibility to say, even if my brothers and sisters in Christ will not do as they should do, does not give me an excuse for denying what Scripture so easily points out. "Alas, we, O Lord, have waited for thee in the way of thy judgments. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." We know that the Lord's plan of salvation is moving, never stops, never stalls, always flowing from Genesis to Revelation, so to speak. But obviously, many of the judgments of the Lord, some are here, some have already taken place, and some will take place. And the judgments of the Lord have nothing to do with us in the sense we cannot provoke the Lord to his judgment. We should not think that we would, although our actions obviously have something to do with that. But judgment is of the Lord. He brings it when he will. He brings it how he will. But what is up to us? What's up to us as we wait for the Lord in judgment is to have the desire, and the desire is something from us. Mm-hmm. That's an act of will. I desire that my soul is to thy name. Nobody gets forced into receiving Christ as their Savior. And of course, let's just say, even as being in a desert kind of sucks the moisture out of your body, the way our society is now, it almost seems to suck our faith in Christ out of us. But of course, we have to stand against that by each day. As it says in Romans 12, dying daily to self, filling up with the things of the Lord, a fresh indwelling, a fresh infilling, just the same as we like to, you know, we don't go out and drink water out of a mud puddle. We look for fresh water to drink every day. And to the remembrance of thee. And the remembrance, when we see this kind of a verse, it's not to talk about the Lord in the terms of who he has been. Remembrance of thee is like always, and it's the song that we often sing. It talks about what the Lord did, what the Lord is doing, and what the Lord will do. So the remembrance of the Lord is God always with us, Emmanuel. Another scripture I want to look at is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I have a theme, you might say, on my heart that I believe these scriptures are leading us to, that should be encouraging to us. And of course, who can encourage us better than the Lord through his word? And who can encourage us better than the Holy Spirit? But of course, we know the Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, important verse. "Let us not therefore be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, that sounds like in the plural, but I think we can take this very personally. Saying, okay, Garrett, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. Now what does this mean? Well, the due season, I have nothing to do with the due season any more than I have anything to do with the calendar seasons. It's winter when it's winter, it's spring when it's spring. I have nothing to do with that. What I have to do with is my attitude towards it. And the same thing of my attitude towards the Lord. He's called us to be do-gooders. He's called us to do good things. Things that He's asked us to do. And He has said that never will doing good fail. It's like planting seeds that always will grow a crop. And so it brings about this thought. We as Christians should be the most tenacious people that the world has ever known. Now, what does that word tenacious mean? Before I give a dictionary definition of it, I want to talk about one of the most tenacious creatures on earth. And I guess because of experience diving in the ocean, I've seen them, I've caught them, I've eaten them. And it's the octopus. And of course, the octopus is called the octopus because it's a creature that has eight legs. Can you imagine having eight legs? Or eight arms, maybe? Well, with eight arms, you could carry a whole lot more stuff, couldn't you? But even more so, think about being able to put a grip on something with eight arms. And if all the arms were equally as strong, as they seem to be with an octopus, and an octopus on its arms has very strong suckers. So not only can it wrap its arms around you, and I've actually seen octopus grab things, and it's pretty hard to get something away from them when they have their arms around it, because they also have suckers on their arms that hold that in place. So when you think about the word tenacious, think about the grip that an octopus puts on things, or think about the grip, for example, that certain animals like a pit bull. Anyone that knows about dogs, a pit bull has a big overbite, and when they grab onto something and lock their jaw, it's virtually impossible to get them to let go without cutting their head off. That's tenacious. The dictionary definition is holding fast or inclined to hold fast. Inclined to retain what is in possession. Tenacious of their rights. As men are tenacious of their rights. Well, after the scriptures that we have read and the things that have been conveyed to us in the scriptures, we need to hold on to what the Lord has given us. We need to hold on to our profession of faith in Christ. We need to hold on to the truth of God's Word. And of course, I particularly encourage Americans today to hold on to the rights that our Creator, as the Declaration says, has endowed us with. And they're inalienable rights. They can't be loaned out. They can't be given away. They really can't be taken away. Of course, some will try to take them away, but we hold on to them. We say, we are not going to let go of our rights. You may try to take them away from us and force us, but you will not get our rights away from us, and you will not take away our right to worship God and in spirit and in truth. Our right to praise and to worship Almighty God, to come, as Hebrews 4:16 says, boldly before the throne of grace in our time of need. Nothing and nobody is going to stop us from doing that. Now that's tenacious. Tenaciousness, which would be a quality of being tenacious, the quality of holding fast, the unwillingness to quit, to resign, or let go. And I hope and I pray that we Christians And we Americans who understand what it is, what people have gone through in the struggles to worship God openly, to worship the true God, the God of the Bible, our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we will teach others the quality of holding fast. We'll teach others by our example to be tenacious. And that we are unwilling to quit in witnessing for Christ. We're unwilling to resign in walking with Jesus and being Christians. And we're unwilling to let go of the freedoms and liberties that the Lord has provided us and through those that have fought for these freedoms and liberties. Now it's interesting that the word tenacious has many different expressions. Tenacious, tenaciousness. There's another word, tenant. And it's basically a French word, and it's coming from the word tenir, which means to hold. Or in the Greek, it's teneo, which means to hold. That's the root word. And think about a tenant. When somebody is a tenant in a building, they have a hold on that portion of the building. Or they're a tenant on the land, they have a, in a sense, a hold on that land. Well, we are tenants in the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as a tenant, we have a hold on the kingdom of God. And especially the tenant in my heart, the tenant in everyone's heart who has accepted Christ, Jesus has a hold on my heart. Jesus has a hold on my life. Christ is tenant in the center of my life and the purpose of my life. And if we have that kind of tenaciousness, we have that grip like the octopus, we have that bite like the pit bull, we've learned the quality of holding fast, the unwillingness to quit, the unwillingness to let go, the unwillingness to resign. And by the way, tenaciousness can be good, and tenaciousness can be bad. The good tenaciousness is holding fast to your profession of your faith in Christ in all you do, everywhere you go. That's good. The bad part is somebody who wants to be tenacious to hold on to their sin, because the Lord says, repent of it, let me wash it away. Don't hold on to that. Or holding on to bad attitudes, or holding on to bad behavior, those things we want to let go. We don't want to be tenacious in bad behavior. We want to be tenacious in the good behavior, that no matter what circumstances we face, and what a message this is for the people of the world today, what a message it is in specific for the people of America today, hold on to that which is good. And everything that is good is Jesus. And Jesus is everything that is good. And His Word is good. Hold on to that. Be tenacious there. But all the things that keep you from fulfilling the will of God in your life, that keep you from standing up for Jesus in the public, all the things that keep you from doing things the Lord's way and the Lord's will, let those things go. Don't hold on to those. Let them go as fast as you can. But be living in the Lord's way, and let the Lord live in the midst of your way. That's the good tenacious. We need that now. And in Philippians 4, or Philippians 3, at verse 14, Philippians 4:13. Kind of gives us a good description of what we face today. I said 4:13, it's 3:14. It says, and follow hard toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if you were reading the King James, it would say, press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is no higher calling, and there is no greater prize. We can go out and be a person who has won all kind of accolades and gotten all kind of trophies. We could have big trophy rooms that mean absolutely nothing if we don't understand what this verse says and have not fulfilled what it says. We follow hard. Now, why is it hard to follow the things of the Lord? Because we have an adversary in this world, because we have opposition. There are some people that don't want us out there having the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And should we say, and this is no error in Scripture, it's not just the high calling, it's really the highest calling. There is no higher calling. And that doesn't mean that you have to be identified as a preacher, identified as a minister or something, because we're all a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We all are priests unto the Lord. We're all ministers unto the Lord. We all have a ministry. But it is the highest calling of our lives. And when that is the highest calling, then all the other things that we're dealing with take a back seat, not a front seat. We don't let the circumstance of the world, the circumstances of the world, drive us to where we're going. We let the Holy Spirit lead us to where we're going. And Jesus is not our co-pilot, by the way, that bumper sticker that people had. Jesus is my co-pilot. No, Jesus is not anyone's co-pilot. Jesus is the pilot. Jesus is the plane. We're riding with Him. Amen. We're not driving Him anywhere. He's driving us. And if it works any other way, then we're wrong. But to be tenacious, and we're going to need this, as the heat of persecution is turned up, as the difficulties that we face become certainly harder than they've been in the past, and new difficulties that we've never faced before, we're going to have to hold fast to this truth. Just like we read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In due season we shall reap. If we're not going to be weary in well-doing, and if we don't faint. And just the same as anyone who's out working on a really super hot day. Mm-hmm. You know you've got to work, but you're not going to get any work done if you faint. And so you eat right, you dress correctly, you put a hat on your head, you wear your sunglasses, you drink plenty of water, you stop from time to time to take a little rest. Well, if we can understand that from a physical standpoint, and be so tenacious as to hold on to the work that we're doing, can't we do the same thing for the Lord and what He's doing in our lives? Yeah. And the answer is, of course we can. Well, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name at this time of devotion for the people that join together everywhere in fellowship with us, in fellowship to look at Your Word, that they would be encouraged. Your Word is refreshment. This encouraging Word to us about being tenacious. Tenacious is not being stubborn. You haven't asked us to be stubborn, but You've asked us to hold fast. Hold fast to the things that are good, no matter what we're told, no matter who tries to take these things away from us, to hold fast. Mm-hmm. Hang on to it. And to continue to press in, just like those who would be walking against the tide, those who would be swimming against the tide, those who would be sailing against a wind that's in their faces, that You will continue to lead us on. And we thank You, Lord.
Thank You,
Jesus. That the hope of Your glory is revealed in us, that we would be able to lead others to You, that they would be saved. And Lord, we would say this, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. And someone has stolen our country, America, and we want her back. And we will hang on to her tenaciously, the way a loving husband holds on to his wife, the way parents hold on to their children, and the way that we would hold on to our salvation, no matter what comes. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.